Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Locatora Radio. Mommies of Myth and Bullshit. A radiophonic novella.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, Locamores. Welcome to season 4 of Locatora Radio. Podcasteras peligrosas. Asesinas wanted for crimes against the patriarchy.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela archiving the brilliance and legacies of women and femmes of color.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
And we are las mamis of myth and bullshit.
Las locatoras of Locatora Radio.
A radiophonic novela.
Which is just a really extra way of saying a podcast. Woo! Welcome. It's season 4. It's 2020.
So much newness.
So much newness. Also so much sameness at the same time. It's fun.
Yes. I'm excited to introduce our season 4 concept.
Yes.
To talk about it.
Yes.
By now you have hopefully seen a flyer announcement circulating on Instagram for season 4 with some new visuals.
Absolutely. So to recap, season 3... we were Podcasteras Peligrosas, Femme Revenge Never Sounded So Sweet. And this year, season 4, new season, new theme. We are Podcasteras Peligrosas, Asesinas Wanted for Crimes Against the Patriarchy. And we're just continuing along with the idea of seeking revenge against machismo and the patriarchy. And now we are probably on the run for our crimes, and right. They're not going to catch us because they can't keep up. And right. That's where we're at.
Yeah, you can't keep a bad bitch down, basically.
You can't. You cannot kill a bad bitch.
No.
No. No.
No.
Indestructible.
Yes. And then when thinking about our visuals and our concept, we were looking back at the Roaring Twenties, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at our hair in the flyer, definitely like inspired by the Roaring Twenties and thinking about how we are literally in 2020 now.
Yep.
So kind of like a old meets new, futuristic at the same time.
Yes.
It's like everything all at once.
But make it futuristic and sort of like a neo-noir feel. Mm-hmm. We had the pink suspenders. We sort of like business bitch vibes. Mm-hmm.
Like a hard femme.
Mafiosa vibes.
Yes, like, 100%.
That's the feeling.
Uh-huh.
So we want to shout out Chava and Michelle, our visuals team, for helping us out as far as photography, editing, putting the posters together. Mm-hmm. It's really fun collaborating. Like, we come up with the concepts, the ideas. Robert, our makeup artist, helps us like look glam and put it all together. Mm-hmm. And that's teamwork. And then it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one of my favorite shoots. It was definitely the most professional shoot we had. We booked a location. We had a makeup artist and hair stylist, Robert, doing everything. And it's so funny because he asked us, like, so y'all would just do this yourselves before?
Yep.
And we were like, yeah, it was a mess.
But we're leveling up this year. And in 1 year, that's a big leap to make from doing every little thing ourselves and like building the set in Chava and Michelle's living room to like having a location and all these different elements.
Yep.
It's a good leap. It's a good
leap.
I mean, okay, I think this episode is going to be a lot of us ambiguously talking about the glow-ups of 2020 that we're working on, that are to come, that are in progress. And this is all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
Even stepping up the aesthetics in that way.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to see the growth, like, from season one. Like, we took our very first episode, promo pics, we took in Mala's neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know,
on my DSLR camera.
Yes.
That's all we'll say. Okay. We'll leave it there.
And then we, you know, did pictures at Vista Hermosa 1 year. We worked with Ruth and Truth another year where we did the pink boas. That was like the Locatora Live, the very first Locatora Live promo that we did.
Yeah.
So we've just like progressively become more ridiculous.
It's true.
In the best possible way with the themes for our photo shoots and for our season four concepts.
Yeah. And we want to thank Querida Los Angeles.
Yes.
For the earrings that we're wearing in the shoot. Those are like gold dollar sign earrings, dangly ones that we're both wearing. So shout out Querida Los Angeles for the drip. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So you can check her out at queridalosangeles.bigcartel.com. Mm-hmm. She is a Latina entrepreneur. She runs her own business and she has beautiful accessories if you want to check her out. Thanks to her again for providing the jewels for our photo shoot.
The adornment.
Important.
Something else that's new this season is our return to Patreon. We relaunched. We never actually left Patreon. We just weren't
active.
We were not giving our patrons any incentives in return for their monthly donation, but they continue to donate just in support and in solidarity of the work, which we appreciate. Thank you.
For full transparency, when we realized we weren't able to keep up with it, we asked our patrons if they would like for us to return their money.
Yeah.
And all of them said, no, we would like to be able to donate to you monthly instead of using the Venmo. They liked having the Patreon
so
as
sweet.
A way to donate.
So generous.
Yeah. So shout out to all of our founding members of our Patreon.
Yeah.
They are our founding members. They have been with us since 2017. And also shout out to our new patrons, Tony, Carla, Xavier, Yes Chef, and Dan. They are our newest patrons.
Yes.
Thank you for joining our digital social circle. It's going to be a great year. We are like determined to really grow this Patreon.
Absolutely. You know, like, we are totally of the mindset that it's good for us to have our content live in multiple places and not just on Apple Podcasts or on Instagram, for example. Like, it's good to have your own little piece of the internet, you know, where you can share your work. And we really want to make the Patreon community, a solid one, a strong one, an active one. So check us out. Locatora Radio on Patreon. There's multiple tiers.
Yeah.
You can even start at $5. There's a $10 tier. There's a $25 tier.
Yep.
Check us out.
Check us out. Patreon.com/locatora_radio. And one of the incentives is really cool for the $10 homegirl tier. With that tier, you can actually, we're going to give you a private number on Google Voice and you'll call in and you can be a part, participate in Oye Locas. So, you know, that's one of our favorite segments. So you'll be able to ask questions that way and also be featured on the podcast. So definitely check out patreon.com/locatora_radio.
And then there's at the $25 tier, you will have access to information about secret get-togethers and meetups. Mm-hmm. And the name of that little community is Locamores Anonymous. So if you want to be one of our Locamores Anonymous, check out that $25 tier. And that's going to be, like, I think, pretty specific to LA area folks.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And if you're not in LA, I mean, we could do a FaceTime or something.
We could figure it out. We'll make it work.
Yes.
I'm not concerned.
Yeah. All right. And then we're also launching something new this year. We are launching our newsletter, Besitos, a Locatora Radio newsletter.
So exciting.
Yes. So that will be a cute little way to receive the newest episode straight to your inbox, in addition to other things that we're into that week, stuff that we're feeling, events that we're planning. It'll definitely be a behind the scenes exclusive as to what Locatora is doing that what you won't necessarily find on the Instagram just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a good sneak peek and a good way to keep up with us and what's to come. So I'm going to put that in our show notes so you can subscribe, and we hope to see you there on the newsletter.
That's going to be like a fun new addition.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2020, we're like acting on lots of ideas that we've had.
Yeah.
We're putting them into motion now.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
It is exciting. And like Mala mentioned, like, it's good to not just live on one social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
A newsletter is a good way for us to have direct communication with our listeners because we're sending you info. We know that you'll see it. And same like the Patreon, we can build community with you in ways that we can't via Instagram, especially all last year we talked about shadow banning and all of that. So this will be a new way to keep up with us.
Absolutely. The shadow ban is real. We don't trust any of these social media platforms. They don't belong to us. We don't own them. We don't have a whole lot of control over how they work. So, you know, we got to go to other places.
Yeah, and I've been seeing a lot of like brujas especially get their accounts taken down, get their comment section blocked so they can post, but they literally can't write captions and no one can comment. It's just a whole mess.
It's weird.
And it's just very interesting who is getting censored, and we know who it is. You know, yet a lot of hate speech is also happening via social media, but then that never seems to get taken down. So it's very interesting to see what's playing, how it's playing out.
Yeah. And all the memes that like, all the memes that point out how much of like an extraterrestrial life form like Mark Zuckerberg looks like.
Right.
It's not helping.
Right.
He like is morphing into something like non-human. And that's what happens when you do evil things.
We should have a conspiracy theory episode.
I agree completely.
Because, you know, like that like belief of like the reptilians? You know, have you like ever dived into that?
No.
Okay, so
that's scary.
Yeah, so basically, so my friend was telling me because she came into contact with these people that were of the belief that like reptilian people exist. So if you look at people in power, they look like reptilians. So like one good example is like Trump literally looks like a toad.
I'm screaming.
Yeah. So there's like all these different examples of like people in history and how they have very reptilian-like features. Yeah. So that's like all that
he
I can.
He looks like a toad.
Yeah, he does. So that's like all I can really say about it right now, because I that's like the bare minimum that I know about it.
So
this reptilian belief.
Right.
But I think that we should dive in. We should do an episode where we dive into conspiracy theories.
I agree completely. I think that Mark Zuckerberg the sameness of his haircut over the years also disturbs me, like, yeah, to a degree that's hard for me to
describe. What kind
describe.
Of reptilian would he be?
Oh my God, let me think.
He would be a reptilian.
I don't know enough about reptiles to place him. Hold on, let me think. So if Trump is a toad and Zuckerberg has those kind of like, sort of
beady eyes,
his eyes are dead set and beady at the same time.
It's very confusing.
And he needs eye drops. He looks that his eyes look itchy. Some type of a lizard.
He would be a lizard.
Some type of a lizard.
There's a YouTube video called Mark Zuckerberg is a lizard.
God.
There's a whole meme community that doesn't think Mark Zuckerberg, wait for it, is human.
There you go. We're not the only ones. Other people have made this observation.
Stress.
Other people have noticed.
Yeah.
We're looking
now
at
we're
pictures.
Looking at pictures of Mark Zuckerberg. I closed it.
Ooh, thank you. Okay. He can't hurt us now.
Well, anyway. Well, I think the downfall of Instagram is when it got sold to Facebook, because IG had its glory days. I like this. That's how one of the ways that you and I met, aside from Twitter. It's a way that a lot of us met. A lot of us have built community. Folks have organized via Instagram. And it's just like
womp, womp.
Shadow banning, no captions.
There was a day.
Accounts deleted.
There was a time of very heavy posting on our parts.
Yeah.
And just spending lots and lots and lots of time on IG. Mm-hmm. Just my day was very much about Instagram.
Yeah, totally.
Which, like, saying that out loud and, like, thinking about that is so funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were, I mean, yeah, we were also working or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were on Instagram.
We were on Instagram. Yeah. And but also it was thanks to our micro followings on IG.
It's true.
That we were able to funnel those followers into the podcast.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still on Instagram.
No, same.
Like, I still spend plenty of time on there.
I will still post.
It just doesn't feel the same.
It's not the same. Yeah.
Do y'all agree, listeners?
Let us know.
Is that how you feel? Do you feel the same way?
Also, if you know about the reptilians, please comment, because I'm sure that y'all know about it.
Tell us about more reptilians that you have seen or know of in history.
Okay, so my friend was hanging out with this couple and it goes without saying that they were white.
Okay, let's start there.
So she was hanging out with these people that believed in the reptilians, and they also believed that they could move things with their mind.
Oh shit.
So she was hanging out with them for like a minute, and then she said, well, she called me and started telling me about these people, and I was like, I'm gonna stop you right there. They're trying to get you to join a cult. I'm telling you right now, they're trying to get you to join a cult. So don't then she tells it. Me that she like hangs out with them, and all of a sudden there's like a meeting, like a bunch of people are coming over. And I was like, girl, you need to go. Like, you need to get out of there.
A meeting is the first step.
So eventually she was like, okay, things got really weird. I'm no longer hanging out with them. But yeah, that was my first exposure to the reptilian conspiracy theory.
They're really out there.
Yeah.
And they are recruiting people.
Yes. There are people that like firmly believe this.
Oh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I hope we haven't like invoked their spirit. They like
this is true.
Oops. Well, it's out there. Fuck it.
All right. Well.
All right. Well.
Okay.
If we disappear, you know what happened.
You know what happened. Blame the reptilians.
The other conspiracy theory that I like is about like Ted Cruz being the Zodiac killer. And him looking like he could be the Zodiac.
If it came out that he was a serial killer, I would believe it.
I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
Speaking of serial killers.
Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Okay, so we were watching. We were pre-recording. We were talking about the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Yeah, that just
series,
came out.
The docuseries. We both watched it. Separately. We didn't tell each other
we
were watching
it. No, we didn't. Yeah.
Where do we begin? What do you think? Where do we start?
Okay, well, I saw this. And this
for those who maybe don't know who Aaron Hernandez is or who haven't seen it, who was Aaron Hernandez?
Aaron Hernandez was his position, but he was in the NFL. He was the tight end of the Patriots, right? And so he was this really like young 23, 24-year-old Puerto Rican from Connecticut, and he was drafted into the Patriots. So he's like at the height of his career and
signed for $40 million.
Yes. lived in a mansion, had like the dream life, right? Like he had made it. He like accomplished his goals.
Yeah. Basically won the Super Bowl for the Patriots.
Basically, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like a darling of the NFL
and of the United States. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this. We were watching it and I was like, I like pointed out to my man, like, oh, like, wow, people were really like rallying for him. And he was like, yeah, he was a fucking Patriot. And
he was a
I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The like, because you know, I'm not really a sports person, but like, people are really committed to their sports team, so get that. So, yeah, anyway. So he was tried for and convicted for murder,
mm-hmm.
And at the same time, while they were investigating that case, he was also a suspect in another murder that predated his Patriot.
Super Bowl win,
right? Mm-hmm. Before he had even been drafted.
Mm-hmm. Before he had been signed, yeah.
Yes. So.
When he was a college student.
Yes. So there's a lot of theories. There's a lot of theories going around right now, especially on Twitter.
And
where
so
a lot of this lives.
And what's interesting, you know, to me about all of this is, so, you know, he was a lot of things. There's so many layers. There's so much to say and unpack and so many questions. It's interesting that he was such like a national hero and that he was of Puerto Rican descent in the NFL. That's not really like a narrative we hear all the time. Right. There was that particular attention on him. And then he was a superstar at such a young age.
Yeah.
And
also like a survivor of child abuse.
Of childhood sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse.
And which his brother spoke about, DJ Hernandez, in the docuseries. And then there was a lot of focus on these different speculations and conversations about his sexuality.
Yeah.
And we were like sort of talking about how they used so many different words and labels to talk about and describe him. So some people throughout the docuseries, well, he was gay, he was closeted, he was bisexual. And just the like jumping back and forth between all these words, it was interesting and odd, you know?
Yeah.
And this was talked about, like the folks in the docuseries had a balance of perspectives and said, you know what, no matter what it was that he was going through, he still made choices and he killed people.
Exactly.
And accountability like matters, you know? And it goes along the same. Okay, there's just such a genre of film and entertainment of let's hyper focus on men who have murdered people and abused people and think about all angles and all sides of their lives and contemplate their humanity and sympathize over them and with them. But there are dead people like in their wake.
Absolutely.
You know,
when we first started watching it, because I watched it with my man, with my partner, and just the opening like montage of like all these different photos of him, I thought, when I said aloud to him, like, how difficult is this for the families that he murdered?
Right.
Like, you know, that are seeing the way that we're humanizing this murderer. And I think, I don't know, like I understand the importance of nuance and having that conversation about his life and like everything that led up to, you know, these different murders. At the same time, exactly like you said, we're also humanizing someone that killed multiple people.
Yeah, it's wild. And all of his victims were Black men.
Yep.
You know, and what's that? Like, what is that about? And whatever rage you have, why was he directing it at Black men specifically? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's a piece that I don't remember hearing that being touched on or discussed in the docuseries.
And then we had talked about how there was very small mention towards the end of just the physical and mental damage that happens to you when you're a football player, when you're like receiving all these blows to your body and your head for years and years on end while you're training.
That,
and playing.
The specialist, the brain specialist that examined his brain postmortem said that it was like the worst case of CTE in a person, in such a young person that they had ever seen.
Yeah.
Like his brain was like atrophied. Like it was very advanced. And I mean, again, so many different factors. And it also it says so much too about this continued conversation about the NFL and players being expendable, and those players are, their bodies are wrecked like completely.
Yeah, that's minus why they retire CTE. So young.
Yeah, you know, and just people are expendable to the NFL. Mm-hmm. The domestic violence victims that they overlook and ignore so that, you know, abusers,
the players can continue playing.
Can play. You know, their players literally suffering prolonged and constant brain damage. Yep.
And the NFL is considered a nonprofit. Mm. So then thinking of all the tax write-offs that they must receive because they're classified as a nonprofit.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm. They are.
That is effing crazy.
Yeah.
That's too much. I can't even like...
Yeah.
And I remember, because my dad is a big football fan, and when we all lived together, like Sunday night football and then Monday night football were like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, dad's got the TV on Sunday nights and then on Monday nights. And we're a Raiders family, but Aaron Hernandez was a huge name and he was a huge deal.
Yeah.
So when the... Although I myself don't really watch football, when the docuseries came out, I was like hesitant. I was like, I don't know if I want to
watch
this.
That's how I felt about it too. Yeah.
But I was curious.
Yeah, but same.
That's how they get you.
Because I have no investment in football or the Patriots. I mean, the owner is a known Trump supporter.
Right.
Same as Tom Brady. So like I have no interest in watching anything related. But... It's a Netflix docuseries, and Netflix has great advertising.
And the timeline is on fire, and everybody's
and
watching
it. And everyone's talking about
it. And commenting.
I'm like, well, I want to know, too.
Well, fuck, let me find out.
Yep.
You know? Oh, my God. But, yeah, no, like, it's totally unacceptable, like, his actions and his behavior. Mm-hmm. It's a huge conversation about professional football and the way that players are treated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that victims are treated when a celebrity causes harm to the public.
Yep.
You know, and getting, like, kind of secondhand treatment. And then even in the docuseries, it's the same dynamic.
Yeah. And I was really put off by the way they showed Lloyd's body multiple times during the Netflix docuseries. Like in court, they like his mother was looking at photos of her dead son's body.
It was horrible.
In the morgue. And I like that really was off-putting to me. And I thought like this is just for effect.
Sure.
And not because we actually needed to see it.
Right.
Like, I didn't need to see his mother looking at her. You know,
right.
Her dead son's body.
She didn't need to see that.
You know,
that was a lot. I mean, it's really interesting sort of the way that they laid out the narrative of his life and the speculations around his sexuality and the focus on it. And it was a lot of speculation. It was a lot of investigators and commentator, like people making comments, but who weren't close to him.
Yeah.
And I saw, you know, we were looking at a Twitter thread, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had questioned, like, that quarterback from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when was the last time that they had seen each other or spoken? And why was he such a primary source on him?
Yeah. I thought that was strange, too, because it's also one of those things of, like, are you outing someone that was never out? And... I don't know, a very big speculation on their sexuality, and then the person isn't here to say yes, that happened, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah. So,
and then he committed suicide supposedly after he was acquitted. I don't know,
there's a lot. You know, when people die in prison, especially the Epsteins of the world, the Aaron Hernandezes of the world, like who's motivated to keep them alive or to see them dead? And so it's hard to believe and to trust what you hear coming out of a prison.
Yep.
It's just really hard to really know the truth. And then the speculating about his sexuality, not to say that he wasn't queer, but the amount of time that they spent on it and speaking to people who weren't in his life was just very weird.
Yeah.
There was weird fascination about it.
I agree with you. I wish they would have spent more time on the trauma that his body experienced as a professional athlete, you know? Because, like, there are, like, real implications that of all the damage to your brain and, like, what that actually does to your decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a way to, like, not hold him accountable, but as someone that works with folks with developmental disabilities, we actually have clients that were in a car accident and then now all of a sudden have this developmental disability and have to be in assisted living.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't know.
It's your brain.
It would have been worth spending time on, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So, you know, the question of things like sympathy and empathy come up and are hard to wrestle with. And I try not even to necessarily go there or think about things like sympathy in these cases, because there's a very real tragedy in, like, people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact of we don't want to avoid or overlook that reality.
But I think that is the point of these types of docuseries or documentaries, not just the Aaron Hernandez one, but, you know, even like the Ted Bundy.
Oh, my God.
The Ted Bundy. Was that, that was a Netflix original, too, right?
Yep.
It was like a Ted Bundy series. And like all the folks on Twitter that were like, oh, Ted Bundy was so fine or whatever.
That I never understood.
He was a serial killer.
He was a serial killer.
You know, but it's like we have this weird fascination with men that are serial killers.
It's true.
We as a society, individuals.
Okay, also, can I just say, like, if we are going to talk about attractive serial killers, it's not Ted Bundy.
No, it's not.
It's not Ted Bundy. I mean, like, you know, like, of course, like, not to glamorize, but if we're going to talk about, like, hotties, no one ever mentions Richard Ramirez.
I knew you were going to say Richard Ramirez.
An amazing bone structure. Was a monster.
He got married in prison. He had hella women writing to him.
Showing up for his court dates, sitting in the audience. Like, listen, if he wasn't a serial killer, I would sit here and say Richard Ramirez is a baddie, like, with perfect bone structure. But, you know, he was a monster and terrorized the East Side. Like, let's not forget that. But I'm just saying, if we're engaging in that conversation.
Right.
It's not fucking Ted Bundy. I call bullshit.
This is wild. I'm editing this out. This took a crazy turn. Do not edit this out.
I meant every word that I said. Do not edit this out.
All right. So moving on.
Speaking of. So 2020, new year, same hoes. How's your year treating you so far?
This has been a long January, okay? I feel like already? It's never ending. Yeah. But no, I feel like refreshed. I feel ready. Lots of changes coming 2020. I feel good about it. I feel like we've been talking so much about all the things that we're planning in 2020. Like, we're also seeing it come to life already.
Oh my God, yes. We are reaping.
Yeah, we're reaping the benefits already.
We have been sowing a lot of seeds.
Yep.
And even just in the past, like, 72 hours, mm-hmm. so many things have just come inboxes.
Come into the inbox, yep.
The inbox is a treasure trove right now.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
Yes.
Keep it up.
Yes.
Like, even, like, last night, mm-hmm. like, late,
mm-hmm.
I get a text from Diosa, what? With a screenshot. Containing details I will not share. But it was very exciting.
Right.
You know?
It was.
More?
So anyway.
More announcements to come soon. Like, a lot more.
But anyway, but also, this is a good time to share that we will be at UC Davis.
Oh, yeah.
On February 8th. And we will be doing a plática about sexuality, sex education, pleasure, consent.
Come see us.
Come see us. There will be a sex toy raffle if
check
you're at
out.
UC Davis or in the surrounding area. Definitely come through. More details to come.
Yes, that's going to be great. Oh, I just remembered something that I wanted to share.
Yes, tell me.
Today, we had a little birthday party for my grandpa.
Aw.
Happy birthday,
happy
grandpa.
Happy birthday.
He's been stressed recently because of everything going on in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of his sisters, you know, live on the island.
Yeah.
And very weird, all these earthquakes, like, mm-hmm. not normal for the region.
Right.
So people are freaking out, obviously. And PR has just been through a lot with the hurricanes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we had a birthday party for him today. And last year in 2019, towards the end of the year, he said that I was a corajuda.
I remember that. Yeah.
This morning, he said I was a chingona.
Nice.
I like that shift.
Yes.
I'm like, this is a good sign.
This is good progress.
2020 is looking
maybe
good.
Maybe you were in a better mood. Maybe you've been in a better mood.
I have been in a better mood. I was
2019 was maybe was a corajuda. Little corajuda year.
It was.
A little bit.
2019 kicked my ass.
Till the last day.
Bitch. I'm not going to share exactly what I went through at the end of the year, because I'm going to save that story for something else,
right.
because it's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
But just know that I was, like, down for the count. Like, I was done. Like, I stayed home for New Year's. 2019 tried to keep me there, but I survived. I made it to the other side.
Yes.
I'm here, bitch.
Yes.
intact. One piece.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I downloaded Hinge.
Oh, yes.
I'm back on the apps.
Did you delete it yet?
Okay, look, I asked my IG community on my story if I should delete Hinge. 100% of people that responded said, yes, bitch, delete that shit. You need a different
app or not an app.
I don't know what I need.
Not an app. You need to meet someone at the dog park.
I need a dog dad to help me co-parent Babas.
Yeah.
You know what I was realizing? I'm tired of being responsible for like my own survival, like my own like life force. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I want to outsource my survival to someone else. Like I need a partner to take care of me.
It is really nice having that. Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like keeping myself alive is so much work.
It's so much work. Fernando often asks me like, well, I thought you were a strong, independent woman, and I always respond, no, I am not. I need you to take care of me.
Exactly.
Because that's his way of, like, trying to, like, be like, you can do this.
No.
Go do that.
No.
Go do this. And no. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Take care of me.
Exactly. Stomps foot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we also had the conversation of how I'm, like, actually a brat.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Mala knows.
That's true. Yeah. And feed her. She gets hangry.
I get really hangry. And I didn't know this until we started working together, funny. Mala and I.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know this about myself.
I, like, see it coming.
Yeah.
And if we're, like, working with people, I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I, like, run and I, like, get food for her. And then I, like, bring her an offering. I'm like, please. Don't hurt them.
Anyway.
They mean well.
I get really tired and I need snacks. I need constant snacks. This happened to me at work this past week where I didn't pack enough snacks and I was really cranky. So then that same day I went to Trader Joe's and I bought a bunch of stuff and I made my own trail mix.
That's so cute.
It was delicious. So I packed myself that all week. So I needed to have multiple snacks throughout the day. So I'm trying to be more on top of that.
That's smart.
So that I'm not cranky and I'm not out buying something. Oh my God.
I spend so much money on food.
Mm-hmm.
I spend so much money on food.
It's just much easier to just pack the snacks and the lunches.
Pack the snacks.
Yeah, girl. If there's any snack sponsors that want to place an ad here.
Yeah. Okay. Specifically, I'm going to put out a request. You know, like the adult Lunchables, the portable charcuterie, basically.
Those are great.
That's what anybody out there, that's the sponsorship we want. Those are the snacks we're looking for.
Yes. Those really get you through.
They really do. They really, really do. I'm going to like make a wish on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that it comes true.
Let's pray.
All right, y'all. So we are going to get started with our last segment of the day of this episode. Oye Locas.
My favorite segment.
The best segment.
Let's see what y'all want to know about. Oye Locas. Here we go.
Okay. So this first question is, how do you allow yourself to leave a job that isn't fulfilling, feeling that guilt?
Leave a job that isn't fulfilling, feeling that guilt. Well, the second I get an offer from a job where they're offering me more money, I'm going to take it and not feel bad about it.
Yep.
Because we live in a capitalist society and we have to exchange our labor for money to eat and have housing.
Yep.
I cannot feel guilty.
It's a scam.
I can't feel guilty.
Yeah. And also because your employer will replace you.
Easily. Immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
They will replace you. So I wouldn't feel guilty.
They don't give a fuck.
No. If you are in a position to leave without having another job lined up, meaning you have enough savings, you have, you know, housing is secure, all those different things, like, that's an option for you. I would definitely explore that. If it's not, then I would start applying to new jobs. And also, I think it's important to be, it's okay to be picky about the jobs that we apply to and even the jobs we accept.
Yeah.
I know the very first job that I applied to out of college, it seemed amazing. And it was also my first job offer ever. And I thought, well, how can I not accept this, right? Even though the pay was decent, it was okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great. But it was my first job offer and I could have waited and like kept going and looking and applying. But there's like so many things at play. Like if you come from a working class background, if you're an immigrant, if you're all these different, you know, there's these different things
at play. So many things.
so many layers, which kind of just makes you accept these jobs that maybe aren't good for you in the long run. I mean, if you're able to.
I'm like, do what you gotta do to survive and to like achieve as much happiness as you can.
Yeah.
Like if you can maximize income and happiness at the same time, do it.
Do it.
You know what I mean? But if you gotta kind of hustle and get out of a bad environment in order to maximize your happiness, sometimes you have to like sacrifice in one area, right? To increase your happiness and overall productivity sometimes in other areas. If you hate your job, you're not necessarily actually like working, you know, like you could be in a job and just hate it and not do shit.
Yep.
That's a thing, you know, or you could be at a job where they're just completely overworking you.
Yeah.
You know, and so even for health reasons, it's always okay to choose your health over a stressful or unhealthy work environment.
I agree. I mean, always. I feel guilty taking a sick day. I feel guilty taking time off. Like I really that makes me feel guilty, but I like try to remind myself like this is literally allotted to me
to use.
I get sick days, I get paid vacation. Not everyone does.
Right.
So I should use it.
I need to use it. It's here. If I don't use it, nobody else is going to use it. It's going to not roll over.
Yep.
It's not. What's the point?
What's the point then?
I saw a tweet once. Oh my God, I hate that we reference Twitter so much, but it's a thing.
Twitter is a major thing. We're of that generation.
We are. To put things in perspective, this tweet was like, literally, if you were to die, like the next day, your employer is like posting your job to be filled.
Yep.
They do not give a shit. No. The individual human people that you call coworkers, you might form relationships with, but the job, the company, the organization, the infrastructure, the machine does not care. The machine is unfeeling and needs to keep churning out product, whatever it is. So, you know,
we're also in like the position of we want to quit our jobs to do this full time.
Oh, we're so in the mindset.
We also need, you know, so in the mindset.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that that's our energy right now.
Yeah. And that we're not saying go quit your job. Yeah. You know,
do not cite us and say that.
Because watch, we have, there are a lot of creatives who like jump into the abyss and quit their jobs. Without necessarily having a plan.
Yeah.
That's a way to do it. Some people do that. We have not done that. We still work full time and do all of this. You know what I mean? Because we cannot be without income.
No.
We can't just, we don't have safety nets like that.
No.
There's nobody paying our bills for us.
Yeah.
We don't have like inheritance behind us. We don't have like, what's it called? Generational wealth.
Yes.
So, you know, like our parents don't support us. So we have been working like triple time and we're only going to quit our jobs when we are in a position to financially.
Yep.
So we never encourage people. Oh yeah, just quit your job. Follow your dream. No, bitch. Make sure you can pay your bills and you can eat.
Literally. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They say, and see, it's hard because we're also of the generation where like as millennials, it is said statistically that like the majority of us only have $1,000 in our savings account. And that's like even if you have a savings account, because so many of us can't even put money away.
Right.
Right. We literally spend it all on bills, student loan debt, healthcare, debt, rent, like all these different things, gas, we're especially if you live here. So it is advised that you do have 6 months worth of living expenses in your savings.
And who? And who has that?
Who I don't know who that? Has that.
I don't know anybody that has that.
It's also crazy because I was explaining this to my partner because he doesn't have student loans or he didn't qualify for student loans for many different reasons. So even if I were to get a raise, let's say I was to get like a 10% increase in my salary, I would then have to report that to my federal
loans and they'll take it
and private loans, and then my payment will increase. So even if I am making more money, more of it is going to get allotted to my student loans. So I still can't put anything into my savings.
It's a fucking mess. And then what's crazy to me is sometimes having the loans and paying on them is what boosts our credit. I know that's the case for me, that I've been paying on these loans monthly for years, and it actually is a benefit to my credit. And then hearing about people, once they pay off their loans, now their credit is negatively affected because now they're no longer making those monthly high payments. You know what I mean?
So how do you offset that?
I don't know.
We need to find out.
We need an accountant. That's the other thing we need in 2020. Oh, yeah. So if you know
if you're a good accountant.
A good one.
Yes.
A good one.
If you know how to handle us.
Whatever it is that we do.
Whatever it is that we do.
If you know how to handle this.
Because we have W-2s and we have 1099s.
We do.
So it's like a mess.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
So we need a little help if you know an accountant out there.
Not W-2s. We have W-9s and 1099s.
We have all those
things. We have all of it.
So hit us up. Come through.
Anyway.
Anyways, next Oye Locas.
Next question.
We went in.
We went off on a tangent.
You can really tell we feel ways about employment.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway.
Capitalism.
This question. With an eating disorder, what do you think is the best way to deal with food as a Latina?
Oh, my God. I appreciate when these questions come up. They do come up a lot for us, which is valid because it's something we all deal with. But I don't – I feel like I give a different answer
each time.
Each time this question comes up. I don't remember what my position is on this.
Okay. While you think about it, I'm going to answer.
Go for it. Okay. Go for it.
So I have been thinking a lot about intuitive eating and I have been trying to practice that.
Uh-huh.
So just letting your body tell you what it is that you want and giving it that.
Yeah.
And for me, that's helped because I have been like on a consistent gym routine for the past 3 months. But I'm in diet culture and I'm in gym culture.
Right.
And then it can become very toxic if you're recovering from an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So I'm very cognizant of not getting into any like boot camps, like what are they called, like fitness, like 6-week challenges type of thing, those fitness challenges because mm-hmm. they're all about calorie counting and they offer you quote nutrition, but it's really just, it's not good if you've had an eating disorder,
yeah,
because it just will spiral
yeah
into an eating disorder once again.
It's just hyper controlled eating mm-hmm. is a stepping stone. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's its own type of orthorexia.
Yep.
And even thinking about the fact that those fitness things are framed as challenges
mm-hmm.
and kind of making people compete against their own bodies and metabolism.
It's bad.
It's very weird. Like mm-hmm. who really is winning?
Mm-hmm.
But and as we know, those things are like not sustainable and rapid weight loss is not something mm-hmm. that you can keep up with. You will gain the weight back mm-hmm. If you're losing weight as a result of those things, and it's just not organic. You know what I mean? It's very forced.
Yeah.
I don't think I know the best way to deal with food as a Latina in general. Like, even if you don't necessarily have a history of eating disorders, mm-hmm. like, I think it's a constant battle because there's such a deeply entrenched cultural, like, norm of commenting on people's bodies and especially women's bodies and weight. And dress and mm-hmm. and presentation and the way we walk and the way we sit and the way we do our makeup, like there is constant commentary. So for me personally, especially because I live with a lot of older people and you know, it's very hard
mm-hmm.
to like change people's perspectives and minds and ways of communicating. I don't try and do so much. When I was younger, I tried doing like educating and boundary setting, and that worked for a little bit, but you know, they're very
set in their ways
and they forget. They're so old. My poor grandparents, you know, and my parents too, in their own way. So I just kind of like am desensitized to things. I just let things roll off me. They really don't comment on my body anymore, but what they do a lot of is like, oh, don't worry, like this won't make you fat. There's a lot of that stuff.
Interesting.
There's a lot of that stuff. We're like, oh, like if I don't want a second tortilla, it's like, oh, she's watching her figure. There's always that sort of commentary. And so it's not like direct and intentionally like malicious, but it's still there.
Right.
And so in the past, I might have said like, well, maybe I want to gain weight. But now I don't even need to say anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's my goal. Maybe I do want to gain weight.
Right.
Maybe I will. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just like... What can one even say? I'm tired. What can one even say? It doesn't matter.
Well, I wanted to plug this Latina that I follow on Instagram that's a nutritionist. And she talks a lot about recovery, eating disorder recovery, and intuitive eating. So I just wanted to shout her out because I'm following her. And she can definitely, you can learn more about this subject because she is able to talk about it. So your.latina.nutritionist. And she's a Dominicana and she has like really cool graphics that she makes. And especially like during the holidays, she was like posting a lot about like, it's okay to eat a tamal, you know, for the holidays. Like it's okay to, you know, so like all those different things of like normalizing eating because it is normal.
And it's weird because it's like we make tons of food and then at family gatherings, there's tons of food.
Right. But then we can't.
I'm like not supposed to eat it, or I can't eat it without some sideways commentary.
Yep.
It's very frustrating. But I'm like, this is our culture and I am but one bitty bitch and I can't change the entire thing. I can only control my little sphere, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And just control my language when I'm talking about food.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And try and lead by example. You know, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I'm over it. It's been so many years.
It's a lot. Yeah. Right now, I'm like trying to, I'm making it okay and normalizing it to myself that I don't have to go to the gym every day. Because I used to be like when Mal and I started recording, I had a trainer. Like I was very hyper, like active at the gym. I remember
the trainer.
I had a trainer and all of that. So okay that I don't go to the gym 5 days a week.
It really
I can
is.
Go two days.
It really is.
Or one day or not at all that week. And it's fine.
Yeah.
So just like normalizing your decisions and like letting yourself know is okay.
Yeah.
That helps.
Absolutely. For me at least. Yeah. 100%. Thank you for that question. Last question. This is a spicy one. And our listeners are constantly trying to get us to fight each other on air.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Don't think we don't notice.
I know.
What? Read the question. These instigators.
What is your favorite and least favorite thing about each other?
Can you believe? Let's start with least favorite.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, they really want to see a fight.
They want to see a fight?
I'm here.
We'll give them a fight.
Will you go first?
It's about to be a what? A girl fight? Okay, honestly, don't make me do this. I don't want to. Starts the year like feuding.
Fighting? I know.
We disband. Like the friendship is ruined. We like no. Okay. No, you start. You say something.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, my
what do you hate about me most?
You know what I hate about you? Nothing. Okay, well, we both do this.
Mm-hmm.
But
what?
We both do this, but if I had to pick one thing, I would say that we, and by we I mean you, run a little late.
Yeah. I think we run late at the same rate.
We do.
And it's like, you know, life happens. We live far away from each other. I would say the same thing. That's it.
That's it.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Never ask that question again. Okay, now what's your favorite thing?
Okay. My favorite thing about Mala.
This is easier.
This is easy. I'm like, let me count the ways.
Right.
The first thing that I love about Mala, my favorite thing about her is her eloquence.
Aww.
She is a really good speaker. Wherever we go, whenever we do presentations, even on the podcast, you have this way of just getting your thoughts out so beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
And that's one of my favorite things about you.
That's really so nice. That's beautiful. Oh, my goodness. There are so many wonderful qualities about you. You have so many fabulous attributes. But I would say that you are very, very, very perceptive and intuitive, and you notice things and catch on, and like if there's like a little hint of a clue of a thing.
This is true.
You like see it right away. Like Diosa's always sending me like her little ojitos are always, always on the timeline. Like, and she peeps everything.
Yes, I see it all.
And she sends me things and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
all day. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. You're like a low-key detective.
Yes. Uh-huh. I will find.
You're very sharp. You're very sharp.
And I will piece it together accurately and well.
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Well, thanks.
Crime solver.
Well, thanks, girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, ask us questions like that.
Yeah. Hater.
A hater.
Least favorite thing about each other.
How dare
you? Let me go
you.
Find this account. I'm going to block you right now. I'm just kidding. Love you.
Love you so much. Besitos. No, but seriously, send us spicy questions. They tickle us.
Yes.
They're very funny.
Yes. One time we got a, what's your least favorite capítulo?
And we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you trying to insinuate?
That there's a least favorite in the world?
How?
Hater.
How? I don't get it.
No. Doesn't make it make sense.
Anyways. So, I mean, wow. Our first episode of 2020. How cute. This has been really fun.
This has been fun.
This was a fun episode.
Okay, question. Do y'all want this season, to our listeners, do y'all want more interviews? Less interviews?
Right. What do you want from us?
What do you want from season four?
What do you want from us?
We have like some interviews planned. We love interviewing folks that are like doing amazing work. And we're also launching new segments this year.
Yes.
On the pod. So
yes.
That will, to keep it new, to keep it fresh,
mm-hmm.
have some new people, have some mm-hmm. new guests as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, what do you want to see from us this season four?
What do you want to hear about? Do you have guests in mind that you've always wanted us to interview? Do you have topics in mind you've always wanted to hear us discuss? Let us know. Also, remember that we're still indie.
Oh, yeah.
We're still indie. Oh, this yeah. shit is still free.
That's right.
If you want to support us outside of the Patreon, we have our Venmo at locatora-radio. Hit the Venmo. Support indie podcasters.
Yes. And one free way to support us is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Believe it or not, they go a long way.
Love us out loud.
We are at over 512 five-star ratings.
Woot, woot.
And we have lots of beautiful comments. So, you know,
give
if
us
you
more.
Want to add to that, mm-hmm. feel free to do so.
We're greedy little bitches and yes. we want more.
Yes, we are.
More comments, more reviews.
More love, basically.
More love. Show us love. That's our love language.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Demonstrate. Say it.
Words
show
of affirmation.
It. Words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Leave us some words of affirmation. You know where you can listen. We're on Spotify. We're on Audioboom. We're on SoundCloud. We're on
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. How could I forget? We're on Instagram at locatora_radio. Visit our website, locatoraradio.com.
All right. Well, this has been the very first
Yay.
Capítulo of season four, capítulo 76. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locatora Radio. We will catch you next time.
Besitos.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.